kind of subject that I'd like for us to talk about, trust in the Lord. When you hear that topic, where does your mind go? A lot of times, it can take off way out here, thinking about the worst thing that can happen to me in an affliction. Cancer of the worst kind, and can I trust the Lord? I'd like to draw our minds back in a little bit. Because that is not where trust begins. I'd like us to think a little bit about where does trust begin. It begins as a newborn infant, totally helpless, totally in need of someone to help. Cry out for help, and here comes its mother. Gives it the help it needs, and trust begins to form.
Yes, amen.
I realize that next time I call out again, and she'll be there for me. Think about when that child grows a little bit older. Fathers have probably done this before. Take that child and stand them up on the banister on the porch. Step back a couple feet. Hold your hands out and say, jump to me. You see that child with fear in their eyes, looking down, because that's a long ways for a child to the ground. But you say, come on, I'll catch you. And you see that child, trust begins to form. It didn't just start just then. Won't do that to a stranger. But they realize over the past, I've been able to trust my mother, my father. And they take that jump. And you know, once they do it, you catch them. Catch them up in your arms. And they're ready to do it again. They'll do it to the point that if you're distracted talking to somebody else, they'll jump. You catch them in the corner of your eye, see them coming. You got to grab them. What's happening? Trust is beginning to form.
Yes.
This morning, God would like to do the same thing with us. It doesn't start way over here in this extremity. God wants to build trust with us each one here today. Got a verse that I'd like for us to start with. Proverbs 3rd chapter, and then the 5th verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
Guarantee. In a time we're living in where guarantees may not mean so much. You buy a General Motors car today. You buy a Chrysler's car with a 100,000 mile warranty. See how much confidence you have in being able to get it taken care of at 95,000 miles. Confidence is failing around us. But here's a verse that says, you trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's another verse that goes with it that tells us what to do with all our heart. It says, love the Lord, thy God, with all your heart. You put these two together and you won't be stopped. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
And here's the danger. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Here's the guarantee. He shall direct your paths.
Yeah.
It's a guarantee it'll happen.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this morning, we need reminders throughout our life to trust the Lord. There's one that I've forgotten. We everyone have it this morning. On every coin, on every dollar bill, is an inscription. It says, in God we trust.
Yes.
We need to remember that.
Yes.
And I think about, what does it mean for that being on my money? Those founding fathers, when they put it on there, were there just some space that needed to be filled? I think they had a purpose in it.
Yes.
And for it to be on my money, I've been thinking about this. That I be real careful, because as it builds, as I get more of it, really what I've got is more reminders that it's in God that I really need to trust. Because I tell you what, you put your heart on it, I've got a few verses. I don't want to go to them because I don't want to take too much time, but I want to just read them to you. See if this one's right. Proverbs 23:5, riches will certainly make themselves wings. They fly as an eagle to heaven. If that's where I put my trust, I can have disappointment coming. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches.
Ooh.
Can you see today that they're uncertain. It's all around us. Another one is Psalm 62:10. If your riches increase, don't set your heart on it. A warning to us to be careful. Here's a place that we can put our trust in, but it'll fail us. Think about that verse that says, cursed is the man that puts his trust in man.
Yes.
The arm of flesh, that maketh flesh his arm.
Yes.
Now we can put that out on somebody else, but I've been thinking concerning money. That can be my flesh. That as things start getting better, as things improve for me, if I'm not careful, I can trust in my own flesh.
Yes.
I can get the feeling like I've been able to do it. Do you remember in Deuteronomy where the Lord warned them? Said, beware. Be careful. Because
yes.
You're going to come into a land that you didn't even have to sow. You're going to move. I'm going to give you houses that you didn't have to build. Be real careful. Because there's going to be a tendency for you once you move in that you're going to forget God.
Yeah.
That you're going to even come to the place where you say, my hands did this. Be careful that it not happen. That's a warning for us today. It's in God that we trust.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to tell you where the danger is if we put that trust in ourselves or in man around us. The economy is changing. If I put my trust there, disappointment is coming.
That's right.
We have seen in the last year stock market crashing. In our building, working in an office building in Oklahoma City, on the 18th floor of one of the buildings is Merrill Lynch. One day a man came into the lobby, heading up to see them. Jesse Gray, some of you may know him, works with me. They had worked together for years in a publishing company. This man is now retired. The people most hurt by the falling of the stock market was those that had retirement that had to be pulled out for them to live on. Others could wait it out, wait till it comes back up. This man was not in that condition. He talked to Jesse of the fears that he had of what the future held because his retirement was crashing. He went on up to Merrill Lynch. He lived in Guthrie. About 3 days later, we got news that he committed suicide.
Oh,
could not handle the stress. His trust had been put in the wrong place. For us today, you know, there were times for the children of Israel living in the land of Goshen that some of the troubles that came to the Egyptians did not touch the children of Israel. We're not like that today.
No.
Many of those things that affect the world around us are going to creep right in and get us. It's going to affect us, what happens in the world. If the economy crashes, it's going to affect us. That's why today the Lord is saying it's real important for you to move your trust away from these temporal things. And you know, it doesn't say a thing about that in doing that, I need to not still think about the future and try to set some back. No, there's a place for that. But what he's saying is don't set your heart there. Be careful where your heart is. I've been thinking about it for myself. It comes in really to us each one. At the company that I work for, they had a place where set aside a little money, we'll put it in with you. Help you out in time of retirement. Well, when the world starts crashing, mine starts crashing.
Yes.
You see it coming down, short time, it's halfway gone. Give it a few more months, there won't be anything there. Don't set your heart on it. Here's something that has come to me. I can either let it get me down, or I can get up on top of it.
Amen.
So I got to thinking, okay, let's say it hits zero, and I get old enough to retire. What I'm going to do then? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because He said that if I do it, I'll direct my paths. You know, I've had different jobs in the past. Some I really wouldn't want to go back to again, but I could. I've done air conditioning work. Came to a place where I moved to La Ronja, and from Oklahoma, had me a good job in Oklahoma, moved to La Ronja, and said, I can get a job down there. They warned me. They said, that's the worst unemployment rate right now. It's back in about 87. What are you doing going there? I said, I'm going to give me an air conditioning job. Went down there and found out there wasn't an air conditioning job. And on top of that, I just bought a house. Well, man's got to provide, so you got to be willing to do whatever comes available. So I ended up pumping portable toilets a long ways from air conditioning. But you know what? You trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll help you. Because one thing it did for me was it helped me that once I got an air conditioned job again, I've never complained. I've never grumbled about it. I got up, went to work, everything's fine. And I've been thinking about this one now. Let's say retirement's all gone. I still got a plan in mind. You go to Walmart today, and you see an elderly person just inside the door with a smile, telling you to have a good day and giving you a card. I can still do that. We don't have to let the things around us get us down. He's going to take care of the future for us all. And he wants us today, while things are going good, to start building our trust, our confidence in him. You know, there's a place, I think of a song that we have, the world's fierce winds are blowing. Temptation is sharp and keen. You feel any temptation sometime to worry what the future holds? What's going to come of all this? Anybody feel worried trying to creep in? That song goes on to say, I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Think about it in Matthew in the 6th chapter where it starts telling us, don't take any thought. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Does it mean don't go out on the job? Don't take any anxious concern about it. At my work, they hired a new building manager, one that is going to lead the company. Well, they were curious how his feelings are. So they asked him, with all these things happening around us in the economy, they asked him, said, what's your greatest fear? His response has challenged me ever since then. He said, worry and fear are mild forms of atheism. At first, I just tossed that out and said, that's a strange one. But the more I've thought about it, the more I've realized, you know, that's the truth. Because as I worry, as I fear, I'm moving away from that strong faith and trust in God that he will take care of me. So I'm taking that as a warning for myself. I want you to think about something this morning for a little bit. The devil felt like he understood who man was, how he was made up. Let's take a look over in Job for a little bit. Remember when God came to Satan and he said, you consider my servant Job an upright man. He'd been serving the Lord, doing everything just right. Sometimes we feel like that's the way we'd like it to be. I've been serving the Lord, so things ought to prosper in my life. The Lord came along and said, have you considered him? I love the response that the devil came back with. He said, is he serving you for naught? You put a hedge around him. I'm not able to get to him. Folks, we got a confidence in that this morning.
Amen.
There's a hedge put around us.
Amen.
There will not be anything come into my life as a Christian, trust in the Lord, but that the Lord doesn't say, Satan, I'll open it up for you for a little bit. Because I want to prove to you, and I want to prove to him where his trust is. Been a challenge to me. Because what was the first thing that the devil thought is going to get him? All these things that you have given him, these things around him, you touch those and he'll curse you to your face. Those temporal blessings that you have provided. God allowed that to happen. And what was the answer at the end of it when it was all gone? The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away.
Yeah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Should that happen to us in our economy, that we would be able to have the same response.
Yeah, right.
I'm serving, I've put my trust in something that goes much deeper than all these things around me. He didn't stop there. He moved on to another area. When God came back to him and said, what about it now? You took all the temporal things that he has, and he's still trusting me. The devil took a look at another area, and he said, I know for sure on this one. Let's look in the 2nd chapter of Job, and in the 4th verse. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Do you see that today? People that are willing, I have saved up money through my life. I have thousands of dollars. I'll give it away for one more day here. There's something I want to say here. We do a great disservice to the cause of God when we try to discredit what man is able to provide in the medical field.
That's right.
We don't need to downplay what they can do to justify the reason I trust in God.
That's right.
I want us to always remember that. When a doctor can take out a heart, he did it just recently to a friend in Oklahoma City, had a heart transplant. When he can take out a heart, put in another, stitch up a blood vessel good enough that it can hold pressure, folks, he's doing something.
Yes, he is.
That's not the reason I'm trusting God.
That's right.
I want to tell you something. There has been something happened in the last few weeks that has locked it in for me. It has nothing, my trust in the Lord has nothing to do with mistakes that doctors make. There's a lot that they can do to help people. A few weeks ago, Sister Barbara Thomas' son in Guthrie came down seriously ill, went into the hospital, had an infection in his blood, went into intensive care in Guthrie, was there for a week. They worked with him, seemed like he was getting better. But they said, you know, we've done about all for you here that we can do. So we'll send you to Oklahoma City. I would go down there and visit him and take a look at what man was able to do. Had a dialysis machine on him 24 hours a day. You could see this hose taking his blood, purifying it, putting it back in. You could see these sensors checking everything, his breathing, his pulse, his heartbeat. Seemed like he's in good hands. On a Friday, Sister Barbara asked him, it had now been almost 2 weeks, and she asked the doctor, she said, what about it? Is he going to survive? Their answer was, sure, he's going to survive. Said, it's going to take us some time. It's going to take some cleaning him up, his blood and all, but he's going to survive. 2 days later, he went out into eternity. Do I go away from there and say, that's the reason I trust God? Man is able to do a lot of things. The reason they failed with Ricky was not because they were incompetent. They did everything they could to save him. I want to tell you why I trust in God. At the end of every man's road, is God.
That's right. Yeah.
It does not matter who you are.
Yes.
It does not matter where you put your trust. At the end of every man's road is God.
Yes.
We won't knock the doctors. We won't knock their ability to help people. What happens is Ricky had an appointment with God.
Yes.
His time came. There was no amount of medical help that could save him at that time.
That's right.
And I thought about this. That person that invented the dialysis machine, what a mind, what a person.
Yeah.
He's probably gone out into eternity himself by now. There's a verse that says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Amen.
Why is that? Because at the end of every man's road is God.
Right.
I'm going to meet up with him sometime. I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about divine healing. I've experienced it. I believe in it. I've testified to it. And I had it mixed up in my mind. I went to those at work and told them about divine healing. How you can come to God and tell Him you want to be healed, and He'll heal you. And they were impressed. Who wouldn't be? With the needs that there are today, who wouldn't be? They were very impressed. And the next week, I went to them, And I told him I need to take a day off work to go to a funeral of Sister Janie Woodard. And they said, well, how old is she? Well, I think she's in her 50s. Wait a minute, we just heard about divine healing. And now you're telling me somebody young has died. Doesn't match up. And you know what? I couldn't explain it. I can explain it today. I looked at divine healing at that time as a tree, kind of like the tree of life. You want it? Go pick the fruit off of it, and you're well again and going your way. It didn't work that way.
No.
Everyone would want it. No one would continue with any problems. So the Lord came along to me, and I want to just give you this as my testimony for myself. Came along to me and said, let me get it straightened out in your mind for you. That tree that I had in my mind that was all divine healing, that I could pick the fruit from at any time, the trunk of that tree is trust. That's my part to play. That I trust in the Lord. I put my trust in Him. There are some branches in that tree. One of those branches is divine healing. It is a Bible doctrine. It is there for us. It is one of the branches. There's another branch. There's a branch called suffering.
Yes, sir.
The upper part of this tree, the bottom part, that trunk, is my part. It's to trust in the Lord. That upper part of divine healing, of a branch of suffering, of a branch that is dead, with heaven just beyond, is God's part. That is His will to choose. That branch of divine healing, it tells us, is there any sick among you? That's why we take that bottle of oil, because it's our privilege. Pray for them. Prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Every time, if I got it wrong in my mind, it's going to get me mixed up. Because there is another ingredient to this that I have failed to see in the past. God has a desire for each one of us to make heaven our home. He'll do whatever is necessary for me to be able to make it. Maybe He's able to see if I heal Him out in the future, He may be lost.
Yeah.
Do you remember with the children of Israel, when they came to the Lord with a request, we want it, we desire it, we're going to keep on coming after you to get it. Said He granted that request at such a price, He sent leanness to their soul. Today, if my vision is no farther than this earth, then I'm going to do everything I can to take it easy while I'm here. If my vision moves on over into eternity, and my desire is to make heaven, then I have to say, Lord, send my way. Whatever is needed, that I'll be able to make heaven my home. Mm-hmm. He's willing to do that. And He sent something my way that caused me to be able to get it cleared up. Last summer, He caused, had a heart problem, and I had to go to my bosses there. And I told him, I said, you know what, I need to take some time off. He said, what's the matter? I said, I've got this heart problem and I need to go rest. Well, he knew how I believed and where I had not been able to explain it before. So he told me, he said, well, just right now, tell me how you're feeling. And my heartbeat had gotten irregular to where, I mean, I could feel it stop. And you know, when it stops, I know it's not stopped long, but it's enough to think, come on. You know, start back up again. Enough to make you really nervous. So I told him, I said, that's happening right now. I said, I've got this pain going up into my neck. And immediately he said, Dan, get to the hospital quick. I had the answer then. I said, into the life of a Christian, God has charted a course with heaven in mind in the end. It's my part to trust Him, that He will send into my life whatever's necessary.
Amen.
That I'll be able to make heaven my home.
Yes.
And you know what? He respected it. There are a lot of so-called Christians out in the world. He came back to me later and he said, that brought tears to my eyes. He said, I've not known of people that have that kind of relationship with the Lord. That's not about us. You know what? If I hang to this thing that divine healing is what I believe in, how do I explain it? When someone goes, I can't explain it. But I tell you, when I got a hold of this, it settled it for me.
Amen.
At that same time, I had a heart problem last year. God caused something to happen to my eye. And I thought, well, maybe I just need glasses changed or whatever. So I went into an eye doctor and I asked her, I said, could you check my eyes? Maybe I need an eyeglasses changed or something. She checked it and said, no. So that won't help. I said, probably at the time that you had your heart problem. I said, in the back of your eye, some blood vessels burst, and so that's what's causing your trouble. And it was distressing because I can even today, I can put my hand over my good eye and I can't distinguish a figure. I can see there's something there, but not who it is. And you think, that's 50% of my vision gone. If this other one goes, I'm in trouble. Well, he solved my heart problem. So I'm ready for the eye problem to get fixed too. And his response to me was, you know I can heal you. I want to know if you can trust me.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord.
Yes.
With all thine heart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lean to your own understanding.
That's right.
We're in a time today where human wisdom is going to get us.
Mm-hmm.
As we start looking around, and I've thought of this, what if healthcare continues to improve? Over the past few years, it has improved so much that if you have cataracts, you can go in and have it just as a little procedure and go back to work the next day. Did I start out to trust the Lord because they can't do anything? I started out to trust the Lord because He sees heaven in mine.
Yeah.
And I'm confident He's going to send into my life those things necessary for me to be able to make it. What about with Paul? And let's take a look at that in Acts, the 9th chapter. Maybe before we go there, though, you remember when the devil looked at that? Said, all that a man has, when it comes down to his life that's in the lead, he'll go for it then. I wonder about for myself, for all of us today, is the Lord able to still say to Satan, I caused him to lose some of his temporal things? He'll serve me with his body too. He will let, no matter what happens, he will be able to see that God's way is best. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There's a verse that said, had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, as saved as I am in blindness, I'd go astray. Because I'd never have a desire for anything but good things to come into my life. As soon as Wayne came, I would go grab that scripture that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it'll be gone, and I'd get rid of it. When all the time the Lord's saying, I want to take you to heaven. There's been something that Brother Marty has mentioned before in a message. Kind of like he had of coming out to the end and stepping over and not being ready. And saying, Lord, isn't there something that you could have done to cause me to be ready? And the Lord saying, yes, I had a bunch of them, but you wouldn't have them. I had some sickness for you to get you to stop and see some changes that I needed you to make in your life, but we wouldn't have them. Think about with Job. Had he had another route, another way out to bypass that? The Lord would like for us to put some things in that department of trust that he can touch in my life that I could change if I wanted to, but he can touch them so I can make heaven my home. Think about with Paul. There was something that Jesus said about him. I'd like for us to look at it for a little bit. In Acts, in the 9th chapter, the 15th verse. Remember when was anonymized, or whenever he was asked to go pray for him, he'd just gotten, was blind there. Down in the 15th verse, it said, "Go thy way, go on over and pray for him, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." How many of us, if the Lord said, "I'm looking for a chosen vessel," I'd raise my hand. "Hey, I'll do it. Sounds pretty good." Because look at this. He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. Want to sign up for it? Look at that next verse. "I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake."
Yes.
What a change. If I believe in only deliverance from problems, I'm bypassing what God would have for me.
Yes.
I think about the things that happened to him that fits in this verse of great things he must suffer. Over in 2 Corinthians, it tells about three times beaten with rods, three times shipwrecked. "Once I was stoned." Was it time to give up? What about in Romans 8 where it says, "Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ?" In all these things, he said, we're more than conquerors. Well, Paul was no different than the rest of us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. And in the 7th verse, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So what did he do? Same thing that I would do, that we would all do. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." And what response I got back was, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So sometimes the response that the Lord wants to bring back to the troubles that he's allowed to come into our life. And as a Christian, I've got the confidence that nothing will come into my life that it doesn't pass through God's hands. That's a great comfort, because we're living in an evil world. And if I can't believe that God's got it under control, I'm in trouble. But he's only going to send, he's going to only allow to come into my life those things that will purge something out. So with Paul, he's now got to make a choice when he hears, "I'm not going to remove that. I'm going to just give you grace to bear it." Is he going to submit, or is he going to walk away? He goes on down in that 9th verse, and he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm willing to accept whatever God will allow into my life, because he's got a purpose for me. What about for Jesus? I'd like to follow his example. I can make it if I follow his. You remember where the human part of Jesus showed? When he saw, "I'm coming right down to the end now. If it be possible, would you let this cup pass from me?" There's nothing wrong with that prayer. There's nothing wrong with us coming to the Lord and saying, "Please, I would so much appreciate you taking this thorn, this problem in my life away." But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done."
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes. Yes.
Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. And that directing of the path is not going to go always in the way that I had expected it to go. But he's guaranteeing me I'll direct it to where you'll step off in heaven at the end. So Paul made a decision. In fact, he's gone farther than I've been able to go. Because in that next verse he says, "I take pleasure in infirmities." He didn't allow those things to get him down. He rose up on top of them. And we can do it today. So Jesus came to the place where he had to say, "I'd like for this to be gone. If there's any other way that you could do it, would you take it away? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I look at another verse that I'd like for us to take a look at in John, in the 12th chapter. Because I believe this right here is the secret for each one of us. 12th chapter, 27th and 28th verse. It says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Am I going to say, Father, save me from this hour?" That's what the flesh would have a tendency to do. Take this problem away from me. Is that what I'm going to say? "For this hour, for this cause, came I unto this hour." So here's going to be my prayer. "Father, glorify your name." That's the prayer that I want to have in my life from here on. I got one request. We get to tell the Lord how we'd like for it to be. But I believe I would like to end my prayer from here on out. "Father, I want you to glorify your name." Because you know the response that came from that when he said it? It says, "Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." What did that mean? The troubles you've gone through up to now have been glorified in my name. And the death that you're fixing to go through is going to bring glory to my name. You know, folks, I'm afraid that I've had it all wrong. Because to me, what I want to put out is, you walk with the Lord and you're going to have, everything's going to be wonderful. And then it doesn't happen that way and folks get discouraged. You walk with the Lord and He'll guarantee you heaven. He will take you through things that will purge everything out of your life. To where at the end of it all, you've got one thing to say, is what it says at the end of our Bible. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." There's nothing else to be purged. Jesus will have done that. So what about for me? In Philippians where it tells us, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known." I have that privilege to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, the view that I have of it, this is how I think it ought to go. But I cannot see past tomorrow. So I will ask that your will be done." Think of the song that says, "What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." That includes my request. Got another place that I'd like for us to think about. We read in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter of some great deliverances at the beginning of it. I'd like for those to be the things that happen in my life all the time. But it goes on down and starting in the 36th verse, it says there were others. And if we took down the Fox's Book of Martyrs, we would be able to read about some of those others. Was there something wrong with their life that they had to go that way?
No.
They were praying, "Father, glorify your name." And his name was glorified by that. Do you remember about Peter? We heard about him earlier this week. That Jesus told him, said, "In the past you're going to go where you want to. But out in the future they're going to carry you where you don't want to go." And what did it say? What he was trying to do was, he was signifying by what death Peter was going to glorify God of. Wasn't going to be an accident. Wasn't going to be a failure. This was how he was going to be able to glorify God. Got one more example. I think about my parents. I never knew them when they weren't afflicted. From a child up, they were afflicted. God answered prayer time after time for them, but He never healed them. Does that say that divine healing doesn't work? Not when you get it in the right perspective. He says, "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Today, Mom and Dad both will tell you it was a good thing that I was afflicted, because it ended me up in heaven. I don't have to be able to understand it. I don't have to be able to explain it. But I know that God sends, He has a chart for every Christian's life. The end is in heaven. And if we'll let Him, He'll take us there.
Amen.
There's one more verse. "God's way is best, so lead me onward."
Yes.
"My all I give to Thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me and save to glory." Guaranteed. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, all my requests, Lord, take this problem. Don't let me have this sickness. Acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. He'll walk with you through there. There's one more piece of a song that we'll be able to say at the last. Right was the pathway leading to this, as I'm free.
Amen.